Hello, my name is Lorraine from D32 Business Network, and today I'm sitting with the legendary Nick Vague from Leap Virtual Assistant. How are you getting on, Nick?
Very good, thanks.
Yeah, I see you're doing a fair bit of travel around the world these
I
days.
am. I'm over in the Philippines seeing my team a lot, doing a lot of development office space going in at the moment. It's been a long time coming. Really excited about that. Back in New Zealand with another business that I've got in New Zealand that we're really going gung-ho with. And yeah, just very excited for 2025 and 2026, what's coming.
A day in the life of an entrepreneur.
Yes, chaos, calculated chaos.
Yeah. So, like today, and amongst the chaos, what we're looking to do today is deliver some value to the listeners. And that value today is around, virtual assistants. Virtual assistants. But really, why do people want to use virtual assistants? Why do we? How can it help us in business? And then we're going to look at, okay, well, we know the why, but paint the picture for us, Nick. If we've not been
Yeah.
doing that, we're going to look at, what support that we can get in our business through virtual assistants, and then we'll look at how we manage that. How do we get started? So, first of all, let's just open that. So, virtual assistants, Nick, why? Why are people coming to you?
Well, the first thing is price. So you're looking at about $15 an hour Australian for the average VA. And this is for qualified VAs. You can get someone for $5 an hour that hardly speaks English, can answer emails. But again, it's all about quality. It's a bit like getting a graduate or someone that's never been to university or getting someone with a master's in marketing. You get a very different outcome. So why? First of all, price, because the cost it would cost to have an Australian or a New Zealander doing that work would be about 75% more.
Right,
Actually,
okay.
no, yeah, 3 or 4 times more, actually. You save up to 75% generally with getting a VA. Yeah, so you're talking hundreds of percent more expense with wages. The second thing is the level of commitment for a lot of people. If you hire someone in Australia, you've really got to commit. It's very difficult to get rid of people if they don't work out. We're very expensive. Look, it's good that we are expensive. They've got wonderful things like super and sick leave. We give that to our team in the Philippines as well. But the cost of living is so much higher here. And therefore, even for basic administration roles, you're paying people sort of $35, $40 an hour. And it's just not feasible for a lot of businesses. A lot of small businesses wouldn't even get started because they're either a one man or woman band. And they're working 90 hours a week and trying to juggle a job as well. Well, they just don't have the budget or the risk appetite to go and hire someone locally. And if it doesn't work off, they get put out. So it allows you to have that resource to work in your business at a price that you can afford, and in a fashion that you know that if it doesn't work out, you can terminate, the arrangement without any legal costs or any risk. So it's a really good way to get your business pumping.
I think it's a really great way to bridge the gap. If your business does need somebody here, it does need employees, then this is a great way to get you started. It can be quite scary to say I'm going to hire my first employee and to have the onboarding guide or the manual and bring them on and understand all the complexities of, as you say,
You may
payroll
as
and
well go into a master's in human resource management. Because you need to know how to manage, and people don't get taught how to manage people. That's the first thing. The golden rule is treat people like you want to be treated yourself. There's so much more to it. So having an expert partner helping you and guiding you is great. I mean, we've got clients that they do everything. They don't need very much help from us at all, and that's wonderful. But a lot of clients who have small businesses, they haven't managed teams before. When they get their first VA, they really appreciate that support. Even things like training them on how to communicate with people, how to give feedback, like positive and feedback. And it's not negative feedback, but constructive feedback. What is the person's personality you're working with? What's the VA's personality like? How are they going to receive that feedback? How do you communicate in a way that fits with their personality profile? All of that's really important. And if you're working 90 hours in your business already, or if you're trying to scale, you don't have time to be across all of that. So you really need a trained expert partner in that.
And I think even for particularly for the smaller business, yes, it is for you get the support from you, but it also allows a lot of small businesses might not have a full-time job right away for somebody. You know,
Correct. But we
you
do
might
part time.
have a function, or I just want somebody to handle that function and let me get used to working with a person, and then you can add on another function, and you can, so that you can use that VA
Correct.
services and support as you grow, so you don't have to all of a sudden come up with 40 hours a week.
No, you don't. We're very flexible that we have part time. We have some clients that come on board just for a project. They've got some major CRM migration that they need done for like over 6 weeks or something. It's not our main market, but it's a really good way of giving people a taster. By working with someone, they go, "Oh, great! Well, look, I've got a couple of deals coming in. Once I've got that, then I'm going to have someone working 20 hours a week to do all my social media, all my emails, all my calendar appointments, data entry, marketing, all these different things." The main thing is to look at where are you best suited in your business. If you're an accountant, your best use is doing accountancy work, not billing clients, not answering emails, not scheduling meetings. Not filling out forms for clients. It's doing the actual brain work. That's why you studied for so long. And that's what I mean, my accountant, I pay him a lot for his brain, for that really high-end thing, that really high-end work, the advice. So, I'm working with an accountant at the moment. He's working very long hours and he's just stuck doing everything. And I've literally have to pull bits of work off to him and say, "Hey, look, we can do that billing for you. All you need to do is write down how many hours, or what you're there, you can go into your calendar and see who you've met with, and then can bill them on that. And then you can run look over a report at the end of the week." So it's just getting them clawing their fingers off that work and getting them to focus on the things that are going to help them scale and leverage, to grow. And that's the important thing. The other thing is you get access to skills that you may not have. So, for example, if you've got an online commerce store, if you've got a business that has a lot of web development needs, you may have someone here in Australia build the website, but then there's a whole lot of products to add and there's ongoing maintenance. Now, you may not want to go and learn how to code. I can't code, don't want to learn either, but I've got people that can do that for me who can do the maintenance, which is the main thing. Email triage is a massive thing. So for me, myself running four different businesses, my emails all get screened by Trixie, who a lot of you would have met, who's my executive assistant. She'll send out a report to me at 11 o'clock each morning with all the emails. Now, most of those emails she'll answer because they're not things that I need to deal with. And she'll flag the ones that I need to deal with. And it just, I'm sure you're the same, Lorraine. You can get stuck in your inbox all day, but you never get any work done. You never get working on onboarding new members or strategic partnerships or anything that's going to help you grow and scale. So that's just a simple example of something that VAs can do. VAs can do pretty much anything apart from surgery, but maybe when they have robots or things, but there are you are really going to get down the point that you want them to be doing all the administrative work, all the follow-ups, all the onboarding for customers, building databases, reaching out to people on LinkedIn, all of those sort of things. And it just allows you to focus on the grunty work that people actually pay for, and that's the most important thing. You've got to make sure that you're with a partner that understands your business. So we do a lot of work on getting to know the client, getting to know their business, so we can suggest things that we can do. We look at where their time's going each week and make suggestions on, your VA can help this, or there's some software that can do that, and they can just enter the information. But helping them to learn a curriculum of how to work with someone remotely and how to get the best out of it. And look, we practice what we preach. I work normal hours. I've got four businesses, but I tell you what, when one of my team is away and I've got to pick up the work, I notice how much work they actually do.
Yeah,
So that's the thing.
that's
You
right.
don't take advantage of it. Be prepared to still do it, but
Yeah.
really appreciate it when they're not here because you've got to do all the work yourself.
So, Nick, so paint the picture for me, though, right? And obviously, I've got a team of VAs as well. They have been totally instrumental. We just wouldn't be able to offer the value proposition that we offer if we didn't have that team. We just wouldn't. So from my perspective, we've got administrative support, we've got design support, we've got marketing, we've got lead gen. So somewhere around that sales, marketing, admin type of thing. But what else are your customers using VAs for? What are some of the roles? What I can't see because it's not in my world, but what
Mortgage
are?
broking, the amount of paperwork and
Wow,
financial
okay.
planning, the amount of paperwork you've got to do to, do a statement of advice as a financial planner, or to look up insurance broking, or Getting all the details from clients, from mortgage. I'm going through a mortgage application at the moment. There's a lot of paperwork that needs to be done. People, the brokers have to remind the people 10 times. They've got to go between the bank. There's a lot of racing around. We've got trained people that are experienced with those systems to help deal with all the mechanics behind the scenes. That way, the financial planner has a look at the spreadsheet, has a look at all the numbers, can digest them, give the VA instructions. They're signing off and finalizing everything. They're not spending hundreds of hours researching areas like IT where there's ticket support. So I've got a phone and internet business as well, and that was my first business. I've got a couple of team who answer all the support calls, answer the phone calls, do all the technical support. If it gets to a really serious, see, like a senior or serious issue, I'll be pulled into the loop. But I'm not sitting there all day taking calls, helping people restart their modems or change their ringtone or whatever. Like, I don't deal with any of that. And it allows me to be available to actually work on the bigger things. Also, things like marketing, like doing market research, looking at all your competitors' products, who's moving around, research into where there's demand, understanding all the analytics of online marketing, social media posts, things like that. Onboarding as well, like whatever business has customers that are onboarded, there's documents that need to be signed, there's information that needs to be passed over, there's things that need to be booked. That whole process is so important after someone's signed up so that they stay a customer. They don't hear, radio silence for the week after they sign the contract. And even the contract, that can all be done by a VA. I mean, I automate mine all through Trello and DocuSign. So we just click a button and it sends you out an email and a contract with your name and all the details on it. Because that just took so much time out of our days. The other thing are things like, I mean, you've got IT support, you've got marketing, the health sector, so dentists and medical specialists, physio, they all do really well having VAs. What else? Business coaches, because there's a hell of a lot of, collateral in the background that needs to be sent, lead generation, follow-up calls. A lot of people don't bother following up these days. You've got to follow up sometimes 15 times to get a yes. And if it's a no, find out why. But that data is so important. Other industries, gosh, we've got so many. We've got so many different industries. Marketing and sales is a big one, like having really effective marketing. Maybe you've got a marketing agency that does the heavy lifting, but you've got a VA that pumps out the actual work. That's really key. Telemarketing, LinkedIn outreach, so important. CRM management.
I think what I'm picking up here from you, just from talking to you, Nick, as well, though, is that in working with somebody like yourself, because you're working with so many roles and so many apps and so many people, you are just picking up all the productivity hacks,
That's
on
exactly
all
what I
this.
do. I'm most passionate about seeing people grow. And you and Dean started from very small, and you've grown quite large, multi-state, multi-country now, taking over the world. So did I. So I understand what systems and processes are needed, and the software that helps you. Like, I put everything into projects in Asana, and then I have project briefing meetings with different team members that are responsible for those projects. They update me on the work that's done. I review it. I give them feedback. They go away. But having a really strong project management tool like monday.com, Trello, or Asana is absolutely key because it allows you to articulate what you want. So you've got your business plan. Mine's just behind me. You've got your goals for this quarter. What do you want? And then you divide it up into tasks and deadlines and things. And then you allocate it to people to do. So you want to be able to have a VA or VAs or team that can do that work. And then you're just checking it and getting reports, maybe finishing it off, but it allows you to delegate. And delegating is probably the thing I see what my clients struggle with the most is saying, look, instead of you doing that, I know that you need to finish that task off, right? That's fine. You've got to do about 20% of that task. It doesn't mean you need to do the full thing. Brief your VA on, hey, I need a list of real estate agents who are the top selling agents and top 30% agents in these states, right? Can you go and find all this information and then bring it back to me? I'm looking for maybe 500 contacts. So if you create a list, like a task like that, and be specific, they can go away and do it. And then when you come back, you run your eyes over it And then maybe you get them to upload it into your CRM system. Peter Butler's Smarter CRM is fantastic, by the way. It's what we use. And then you start marketing to them. So all that running around, it's just a matter of learning how to delegate an entire task or part of a task to your team. Paint the picture of what it needs to look like, and also share with them what you want at the other end. Like, why are we doing this? And that way they can go and do the work. Things will just move so much quicker.
So yeah,
But those
I'm just
systems and
interested.
processes to get that happening is what we've learned through a lot of trial and error. We support our clients to do that because growth is what we're about.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this. I'm just seeing different benefits myself, not only just on the this is how you can use a VA what for, but these are the tools that you can do it better. And then you're allowing business owners to, as you say, pry their fingers off the control. Because that allowing a supporting a business owner to release control, and I think that's
Yes,
just
I mean,
such
like a really good example. Some of my favorite clients are tradies. Yeah, well, because they just don't want to let control. But when they do, they go, "Oh, well, look, this just happens without me involved. Now I can get onto all these big projects that I've been wanting to get onto that are really going to grow our business that I just need to have time because I'm always wasting my time doing pointless admin tasks." Tradies are a great example. Tradies are on the tools all day, juggling telephones. Then they come back to the office at 5 or 6 and they've got to do hours and hours of administration. We can put someone in there who understands ServiceMate or Simpro or whatever software you're using, even 5 hours a day, that can do all your bookings, handle all the emails and calls, deal with all the apprentices, be your central admin person for that business. And that way, everybody's going through them and they're screening calls, they're screening tasks. If you're an electrician and someone just wants a quote on a light switch getting replaced, they don't need to talk to the owner of the business.
That's
That can
right.
all be dealt with and booked in by your VA. If it's a really big quote or big job, take down the details and get the owner to call them back later once they've got all the details and have a break. That way, when you're coming back to the office at 3 p.m., you've got maybe 3 or 4 things to do and a few emails to read, which are actually for you because the VA screened everything else. It means you're not sitting in the office till midnight and you can actually, spend time on the tools and grow. Which is, tradies have the most remarable improvements and growth from working with VAs.
And what about Nick? And I can see, how we get in one or two virtual assistants. Do you work with people who end up with a team of virtual assistants and some in supervisory roles? Is that common or less
Yeah, we
common?
do. That's all part of the planning as well. Like often, most of our clients have 1 to 2, some of us have up to 8. So I've got a big marketing team. That's calling IT channel partners all around the world for different IT brands, doing relationship marketing around events with brands like Microsoft. We're doing all their calling for
Nice.
this big international marketing company that has worked for them. So we've got about a team of 8 to 10. It sort of fluctuates in about 5 or 6 different languages as well, all around the Asia Pacific region.
Nice.
We have a lot of sort of small businesses where they have a main person working their business. A lot of the bookkeepers will have 2 or 3 team with slightly different skills. Maybe someone that's operating more as like a practice manager and running all the admin, and then they'll have a senior bookkeeper or maybe a CPA working in the business doing the heavy lifting. Quite often, I've got a client at the moment who is an electrician. He's got quite a like they do sort of heavy duty industrial electrical work, and he's looking at getting someone full time. Just to help him and his operations manager with a lot of the sort of executive assistant work, projects, managing a CRM system, managing Asana, those sort of things. That will probably grow. We're probably looking at having 2 part-time team members with slightly different skills because the work will then grow probably into 2 full-time roles as they see, we've got a list of about 50 things they want us to do that we worked out. And we've put them in an order of priority, what's the most important, and the rest are sort of nice to haves. But this client's looking at the cost of labor here and saying, well, look, if I've got this money coming in, I can either spend it on a new apprentice, or I can buy another truck and have someone else on the road, or I can pay someone to do administration. So he's probably going to get someone to do bookkeeping and all that, and also follow up on invoices, do invoicing and follow up people that haven't paid. That's a massive one. And then someone doing all the administration, bit of marketing support, all of that as well. And then they'll grow from there. So building that capacity into the design of the roles is really important as well. And saying, hey, look, what happens if you do grow and you need someone else? How do we structure that?
Nice.
And quite often one person becomes the senior and the new person becomes the junior. And also you want to, if you've got two people working for you, you want them both to be trained on sort of email triage, calendar management appointments, all the basic sort of day-to-day things that have to happen in the business. So if someone goes on holiday or someone is sick, everything doesn't fall to pieces. You've got to have a plan like that.
Yeah. I think that's very even the email triage, it's just such a simple thing, but it's so overlooked. I've thought to myself for years, how am I ever going to get out of this email? How am I ever going to get out of the nightmare of this emailing every single day? And you don't actually realize that there is a thing called email triage that people
I
can
show
just
clients and
pick
they
up on
go,
it.
wow, oh my God, I want that today. And I go, it's so easy. And the thing is, like, we're quite often in the premium group with the Deep District 32, and then we go to the Maximizer. So I may not get to my emails until 1 o'clock that afternoon. But I know that if Trixie, my EA, has gone through my inbox at 11, whether I've answered them or not, if there's anything critical in there, she's going to call me. So I can focus on being part of the mastermind group and focus on being present with whatever I'm doing. And look, that's the same with client meetings. If I'm spending a good couple of hours with a client doing planning, I don't want to be distracted. Look, if they call me, they will call me. I know that it's emergency because they wouldn't call me otherwise. They know what I'm doing. So it's just having a structure for you able to work efficiently, because we all know that multitasking isn't a great idea anymore. We used to talk about it, but focus on what you're doing. Go zones are really good. So, but it just allows you to focus on your work. And I used to get really frustrated being in and out of the office. I thought, if I just had 6 hours to sit in my office and work on this marketing plan or do this product research, and I'd get sort of annoyed with myself not having that time. So now I have whole days worked out. But but that's what I enjoy. That's what I'm here to do. I'm not here to do administration. I'm here to help my team, support my team, do the big picture stuff. And I really love showing our customers how to do the same, and the benefits I'll get from it. So yeah, that's what we look. Money's great, but it's the seeing others grow and seeing other people, take holidays and fishing at 5 o'clock instead of 11. That's that soft love you get from the work you do. Yeah.
So, look, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I think it's so important that people, if you want to grow your business, if you want to scale, have the support structure around you. But Nick, if anybody wanted to get started, what would be your three tips on just somebody who wanted to get started with this? Apart from
Don't,
call you.
yeah,
call you, but
call us, email us for a confidential chat. Look, it's
okay.
more about giving information and about asking as many questions as you want, right? Because we do it all the time. My number one rule would be, one, know what your goals are, okay? Because anything we do needs to align with those goals. Don't do anything in your business just for the hell of doing it. The second thing is, you can draft out a huge wish list of all the things you want them to do. What are three things that you really want them to focus on in the first, say, 3 weeks? So let's call it 3 weeks, three things. Now, we do a 12-week onboarding program where we support our clients and our VAs through the onboarding process because we want them to become integrated into your business as quick as possible. But don't get overwhelmed with all the different things. Just write them down on a scratch pad. Choose three that are really game-changing. So things like email triage, invoicing and accounts, massive thing for a lot of companies. Follow-up processes. It's all great having exploration meetings with clients, but if you're not sending them emails, text messages, follow-up video snips, calling them, all these things. Again, I said up to 15 times. You're wasting your time. Get them to follow up on things for you. If they can get you one more sale a week, that's great. Just the mo that I would say those are probably the most important things in people's businesses when they come to me. And look at things you don't like doing. If you don't like doing reconciliation in your bookkeeping system, we can get someone to do it for you. If you don't like doing it, you're probably not going to do it. It's probably going to be put in the through hard basket. So, I mean, be honest with yourself and us, because we're not here to judge anyone. We're here to help you to grow.
Nick Begg. Thank you very much. This has been awesome. Thank you very much for spending your time with us today. This is
Right.
going to be, hopefully, this is going to help one person
Yeah, happy
grow
to
the
help.
business, you know.
www.leap virtual assistant. That's leapvirtualassistant.com.au. Thank
I'll put all
you,
those
Lorraine.
details. I'll put all those details in the YouTube below, Nick.
Fabulous. Thanks so much, Tom. Great talking to you again. I'll see you soon when I
Thank
meet
you.
you.
Bye bye.
Bye. Bye.